Hi there, everybody. Welcome to the Principal Entrepreneur. I'm your host and author of the book, How to Be a Great Principal, Jonathan Royce. Welcome to the 100th episode of the Principal Entrepreneur, where we support educational leaders with strategies and suggestions that answer the question, how do I become a great principal? I also interview principals in school and educational leaders just like me and you and discuss their areas of expertise and how they overcome the challenges within schools. But before we get into today's episode, I'd just like to thank you listeners from all over the world for joining me on the podcast. For those of you who don't get the stats, we have listeners from not only the United States, but also from Kenya, Uganda, Somalia, Canada, Venezuela, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, Brazil, India, Australia, Egypt, Mexico, Cameroon, South Africa, Nigeria, the Philippines, and Bosnia. If you'd like to join me on the show from any of those countries and talk with me about your educational experience, we'd all love to hear about what education is like for you. Now, just shoot me an email at jonathanroyce@theprincipalentrepreneur.com. And once again, thank you for listening, and please share with your friends and colleagues. Now, for today's episode, we're discussing three things principals sensitive to Charlottesville think about. After the Charlottesville incident, where racist white nationalists battled counter-protesters and three deaths occurred, President Trump gave a statement. He said, "We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides, on many sides." Just as a citizen, was this a strong enough statement? When domestic terrorism raises its ugly snout in the form of alt-right racism in such a visible 1960s-like manner, there is a process that many school leaders go through as we try to process the event and the media and the political circus that follows, and think about what that means for our school and how to have a conversation around an event like that. And the first thing we have to do is we need to think if we should even address the event. And that answer isn't as easy as you might think. The reason for this is because every school is different. Is there a strong enough culture of courageous conversations in which people feel safe touching the live wire of emotion that speaking about race-based topics can ignite? And oftentimes the answer is no. And this can be especially true if you're a new principal and you haven't yet learned your staff. And even if you're a veteran leader, your school culture might not lend itself to these types of intense conversations. Wondering if we should even address the issue is often the first step in this reflective process. And then the next step that follows logically is the composition of the staff. Is having a conversation around this worth the potential disruption between the staff? We have to ask ourselves, does my staff have strong enough relationships with each other where a difference in perspective will not negatively impact the day-to-day operations of the school? And these are at least two of the questions that I've asked myself as I've taken the current visible reality in today's America. And then what filters down next is student and staff interaction. I got to think about, do my students or the composition of my student body and how they interact with the staff, how is that going to play out? Does all the staff have the capacity to lead a conversation like this and diffuse the tensions as necessary? Oftentimes, there are one or two staff members that are able to constructively have the conversation and work through those emotions that inevitably rise. And typically, these are classrooms where teachers have strong relationships and high expectations with their students, so they can have all types of conversation. And having this conversation wouldn't necessarily be outside the norm. But these teachers, these types of teachers, aren't as numerous as I would hope. And the reason more than one or two highly competent staff is necessary is because the other staff members will need to work with the same students that just got hyped up in the previous class with the teachers that can handle this type of discourse. And this is the third question that I gotta ponder when deciding if a discussion about overt racism should be endorsed. Because as the principal, I need to make a statement one way or the other. Yes, we should have these conversations, or no, we don't. Because if I just leave it up to each teacher to decide, there isn't a consistent theme throughout the building, and the teachers might not necessarily have conversations amongst themselves about having that conversation. And then you get that one teacher who has a conversation, and just like I mentioned, the students leave, and the next teacher is completely unprepared for what's coming into their classroom. So these are conversations that absolutely need to happen. And these are all questions a building leader must process before making it a decision. Should the event even be addressed? Is the staff composed of the right mix to have the conversation amongst themselves? And finally, is there a strong enough relationship between most of the staff and students? Oftentimes, you may be able to answer one or two of these questions positively, knowing that this is an opportunity for authentic learning, but are those odds great enough to take the risk? For me, the answer is almost always yes, but just having those conversations and doing that up front provides the opportunity for everybody on the staff to voice the concerns and to make sure that everybody is of the same accord. What is your process as the building leader of your school for working through these types of intense situations? You can share your strategies in the comment section on the corresponding blog, also titled Three Things Principals Sensitive to Charlottesville Think About, and let us know what your strategies are for dealing with these types of situations. If you found this entertaining, educational, or cause for reflection, please share it with your friends. And for more short articles and tips that support educational leaders, check out my blog at howtobeagreatprincipal.com. And you can also order my newest book there, How to Be a Great Principal, 36 Shared Leadership Success Strategies. If you are interested, you can also get a monthly email that delivers the most valuable blogs as voted by the readers by joining the Principal's Prep Minute, which pops up for you right there on the webpage. And you can register right there on the website. And I will send you out, at this point, a monthly summary of the top blogs and top podcasts that people have read and listened to. If you're an auditory learner, you can download more podcasts of The Principal Entrepreneur on iTunes and Podomatic. New episodes come out weekly, Tuesdays and Thursdays typically. And if you're interested in sharing your experience as an ed leader, please email me at jonathanroyce@theprincipalentrepreneur.com. And if I'm lucky enough for that to happen, those interviews typically come out on Saturday or Sunday, depending on how much I got going on. Finally, I'm part of a community of supportive principals. Please join us on our private Facebook group. We got a lot of great stuff going on there, and that is also a place where you can easily get the latest blog and podcasts. And that is it for the 100th episode of The Principal Entrepreneur.